This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
So we got plenty of conflicts with is it Stars on Ice in San Jose for one of those nights. We got Cher here Friday. Commissioner Gary Bettman's going to have to work around a lot of things to schedule this thing.
Yeah, if I'm Tom Stillman in the future, May and June, that's off limits.
That's right.
You know, the Dome for years could not book an event in January because it could be playoff football. And at some point, if I'm Kitty Ratcliffe and the convention center, I go to them off and these idiots and say, let's be honest here. You guys aren't trying and you're not good anyway. There's zero chance you're going to have a playoff football game. Think about that 10-year stretch, whatever the horrible record was. Every January was available at the Dome, wide open, because they had to leave it open just in case.
Yeah, it's part of the demise of conventions here in St. Louis, why it hurt so many restaurants, because they couldn't book. And also that convention center was not spectacular. But
here's an insider moment from late in the dressing room last night. I go up to Mike Caruso, veteran PR man for the Blues. At this point, he's a VP. He's a front office guy. And John Hamm had made an appearance and high-fived and hugged a few players, and then he disappeared. So I said, Mike, just ask him if he'd do something quick. And he said, yeah, I'll go ask him. He'll probably do it. He said, hold on. And he goes down this kind of, there's a back door at the dressing room, and I stay back there thinking if he brings him out, and I can see Frank and others over to my right, I'm thinking, well, if he brings him out, we'll just go in there. We'll just, hey, John, let's do it back here so nobody bothers you. And as Mike goes in there, I wait about a minute, and I look. John Hamm pops out in the entryway, and who's standing like a foot away from his Frank? I'm like, ah, oh, crap.
In fact, so, it's interesting you're thinking that, because I was going to pull him out of the locker room, too, the rest of you guys.
No, I knew. So then I walked down there, and I'm thinking Frank's like, oh, great, I grabbed him, and you're globbing on. I was hoping to get him and not even be seen, and then there he was standing with everyone, and we were live on the air. Well, he's talking for a couple of minutes, which is all we needed. And then they say in my ear, we're taking him live now. He had just given the two best answers possible. So then I'm thinking, all right, what else? Hey, John, what about a Mad Men remake? I mean, I needed to ask some more stuff so that it would continue, because they literally just went to him. And I thought he didn't hate my question, but I said, do you dare to dream? And he was kind of like, yeah, idiot. I mean, of course. Like, why wouldn't I? Yeah, every year, Cardinals, Blue. Yeah, that's why we do this. That's why we're fans. But it ended up being a good answer. But at first, I think he was like, well, why wouldn't I? What's wrong with you? It was great. And seeing him with Maroon's kid, granted, you got to keep it in perspective. It was a phenomenal game, but they're just going on to the conference final at this point. Yeah. It's not a Stanley Cup winner.
Is John Hamm kind of a bad interview, or is he just always caught up with a bunch of beer in him? Not that he was fine last night.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, probably a slight. If I had to rate it, I'd say slight buzz, but not inebriated. Yeah. If I had to.
And the high five answer was really good. That he's kind of a celebrity. How many people does he have to high five with?
Most people.
The answer's a lot.
Most people were responding to a tweet I sent out about the scarf. I'm like, well, who cares if he's wearing a scarf? Who cares? You know, at least he's not wearing one of those short suits that these hockey guys think they can pull off, all right?
Out of control.
It was great. It was, I mean, it's hard to put into words how tense it was in that building. And I do believe if you have a suit, you can just about go anywhere. So we're doing multiple live hits, and we would run in, and we would just stand in the hallway. So the ushers are kind of moving people through all the time in the hallway. And then they see me, and it wasn't like, oh, it's Milton from Channel 2. They said, oh, sorry, sir, just because I was wearing a suit. I'm telling you, you wear a suit, you can get away with just about anything.
Yes. All right. Wearing a suit last night and on the NBC Sports broadcast was former NHL great Eddie Olczyk. He joins us now. Eddie, good to be with you. Thanks for your time. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Frank Martin. Nice to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Our mutual friend, Kenny Rice, I told him you were on today. He said to say hi to Eddie.
Kenny is the man. Kenny did a great job at the on our NBC coverage for the Kentucky Derby. And I always admired Kenny's work from afar. Now being his teammate the last 5 years on our Derby and horse racing coverage, he's not only a great broadcaster, but an even better human being. So I appreciate that.
How about you back-to-back? That incredible derby and then a double overtime game in a game seven.
Yeah, I've been very, very lucky. To be a part of that historic day at Churchill Downs on Saturday and then regroup and get caught up on Blues and Stars, which I was able to do on a lot of my off nights over the course of the last little while doing derby work. But, yeah, a full slate, and I get to come home and get a hug from my wife, get my laundry done, and then I head to Boston tonight for game one tomorrow, Bruins in Carolina in Eastern final.
Eddie, I'm sure Blues fans watching the game, either in the building, watching it on TV, are saying, mm-hmm. boy, we deserve to win this game. The Blues are the better team. They do. Yeah. And it doesn't always happen that way, but is there any doubt that they deserve to win that game?
No, not at all. We talked about it in the broadcast. And, you know, Ben Bishop gave his team an opportunity, and I made reference to this in the broadcast, is that when I get a chance to work with my Hall of Fame partner, the great Doc Emmerich, you know, we always talk about goaltending, and if you don't get goaltending, you got no shot to win. And Ben Bishop gave his team an opportunity. You know, they went, almost 35 plus minutes where they only had, I think, three shots on goal from the start of the second all the way into the, you know, the towards the end of the third period. And, you know, they seem to kind of find their game in overtime number one. But look, I've seen both sides. I've seen teams pepper goaltenders like the Blues did last night and come out on the short end. That's just hockey. There's no other way to really describe it or put it. But last night, from start to finish, the Blues were the better team, and they found a way to make a play at the end. And they're going on to the Western Conference Final. And, I mean, I could not be happier for some friends of mine inside that organization, also inside that locker room, guys that I've known over the years, in particular Alex Steen, who – was a little guy running around a locker room with his dad when I played with his dad, Thomas, in Winnipeg for a handful of years. And Braden Chen's another guy I've kind of gotten to know. And but from Mike Caruso to Army to Chief to Ray Barilli, I'm really happy that considering where they were back in January. And look, I thought the Blues would be – at the start of the season, I thought the Blues would be battling for second or third place in the Central Division. I know it took them kind of a crazy way to get there and hit rock bottom as they did in very early January, as all Blues fans remember. But, you know, Chief Craig Berube has done a great job. And the players have bought in. And some of the young guys that he has put in have really invigorated this team, and it's been a great ride. And, you know, look, talk about goaltending on one end, you certainly got to talk about Jordan Binnington in the other end, because he did made a couple of sneaky good saves in that game. Even though he didn't see a lot of pucks, he played very well. So I know there's a lot there, but I'm happy for the Blues, and it should be one hell of a series regardless of who they play.
Yeah, along those lines, Eddie, what's a better matchup for the Blues, Colorado or San Jose, and why?
I'm not going there, because I really think that they are two different dynamics, and I think that the Blues have the ability to be able to play a slower game against San Jose, but they also have the ability to go ahead and play a quick game like Colorado wants to play. And I think one thing that Colorado's proven to everybody is that, you know, they can defend. They're just not, you know what, we may give up five and we're going to score six mentality. At times the game goes like that and you can't get off the railroad track, so to speak. But I think that, look, the Blues are going to have their hands full regardless of who they play. But when I look at stylistic, I look at Colorado being a quicker team. I look at them having a very similar back end to Dallas defense, where you saw Klingberg and you saw Haskinen
You know, you saw guys jumping into the play like that. Colorado is very much like that. San Jose is not as much. A lot of their work comes from their forwards. Now, I know they have Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns. Burns is really, he's been the most important guy on that team, without question. Now, taking goaltending out of it, because we know if you don't get it, you're not going to win. But he has really defended first, and then the offense has taken care of itself. So a couple different challenges, but it should be one hell of a series. And I know everybody in St. Louis is going to be really excited whether or not they open up this weekend back-to-back, or they have to head out to San Jose and take on the Sharks.
Eddie Olczyk from NBC Sports, our guest here, Frank and Martin on 590 The Fan. Your era would have been a Craig Berube era. I'm sure you played against him. I think what we're learning here, I don't know if played against is the right word. I think our initial take on him was, hey, he's just, you know, he's a bad A, and he's going to intimidate and yell at players. But I think we've picked up lately on some finesse, whether it's the strategy and moving guys around and kind of grabbing Tarasenko and not hugging him during the game, but I think there's a little more hockey strategy and acumen than maybe he gets credit for because of his intimidating nature.
Yeah. Look, playing against Keith, those are the guys, just a lot like Chaser. You knew when those guys were on the ice, and you knew when they weren't. You felt a lot more comfortable when they weren't on the ice. That's just the fact. But, you know, Chief has he did a hell of a job in Philadelphia. This is not a surprise to me by any stretch. He is a damn good coach. He is super intelligent. Sometimes you gotta fall. And, you know, look, hey, if Joel Quenneville can get fired, if Barry Trotz can get fired, I mean, look, it happens. That's just the nature of the beast. And he stayed with it. And I know Army really thinks a lot of Chief, and you know you're right. There's no in between with him. I think that is fair to say. I think if you give the truth serum to any of his players that he's played that have played for him, whether in Philly or in St. Louis, and I think Braden Shen would be the perfect guy to ask about that. There's no in between. Like it's black or white. Like there's no middle, and you know exactly where you stand, and he's going to play the guys that are going, and he understands, you know, the nuances of the game behind the bench to be able to make those in-game adjustments or have a feel to put a guy into a lineup, and the guy steps in there. I mean, you know, when Bortuzzo came in, he gave the Blues some hard minutes there, and not afraid to go back and re-engage the defense that he had prior to that, and that's coaching. That really is. And he has a great feel. He's a great guy, and I've gotten the chance to know him over this last 5-6 years. And he spent a year here. I live in Chicago, but you know, he spent a year here, working with the Blues minor league team here with the Wolves when they were stationed here. And like I said, I couldn't be happier for him, because you like to see not good people, you like to see great people succeed. And it wasn't an easy position to be put in either. Look, I mean, the Blues were reeling. I think a lot of Mike Yeo is a coach and is a guy, and Army thought it, you know, we needed a change, and it took a while. You know, it was up and down, and all of a sudden they hit rock bottom, and Chief got them to play faster, and I think everybody bought in. And they got, you know, look, and they got goaltending, right? They got consistent goaltending, and it certainly starts there. But reputations do precede everybody, and you know, as a player, yeah, he was one tough, you know what, and but he played honest, and I think he's exactly that same way behind the bench. And I certainly know if there's any, I'm going back 25-30 years ago, my era. If there ever happened to be any bench clearing activity, I certainly would want to be on the side. I'd be right behind Chief. I know that. there's no arguing that. And I love that shot we got last night on our NBCSN broadcast of Pat Maroon, a St. Louis kid, scoring obviously on another St. Louis kid and Ben Bishop. But that big bear hug. I mean, I said that's a lot of human there. That's a lot of hugging human there. Saw Chief and Maroon hugging there, and that's. You know, that hits me as a sensitive, emotional guy. Like, that hits you right in the chest. Like, that's why you play, and that's what I miss so much is that, you know, that that celebration of accomplishing something that a lot of people felt that they couldn't do. And it was organic. Like, it doesn't get any better than that. And that was just great to see.
Eddie, before we let you go, anytime we get a celebrity on, we ask them quick, no hedging questions about your career. Martin and I will go back and forth. You can't
hedge. So who are you going to have on today?
All right, here we go.
It must be Darren Pang.
You can choose any enforcer in hockey history to protect you and your family. You have to choose just one. Who would it be?
It's a serious question. Can this person still be with us, or could the person get passed?
Oh, yeah, either way.
Okay, all right. Just want to make sure, because I don't know if there's a follow-up question with this. I would have to say Bob Probert.
True or false, when you go by the old arena site here in St. Louis, you can still hear the Secord Sucks chants in your head?
False. That's not what I think about when I go by the old building. I'm always wondering where in the hell Kelly Chase and Brian Sutter and Basil McRae are. That's what I think.
What former Blue did you have the most strained relationship with on the ice?
Lee Norwood. Damn, I hated that guy. you know what he did to me? We fought my rookie year. We fought in the corner. And then as I was going to the penalty box, I put a foot in the penalty box. And as I was going in, the linesman kind of pushes me in. And then as I turn around, Lee Norwood skating by with the linesman. And he takes a shot at me. So like an idiot, I step out of the penalty box. And I get suspended for one game for leaving the penalty box. And I ended up like scrapping with him again. And then, of course, he was just sitting there with that grin on his face. And a close second would be Hack and Whack there, Schnepsi and DeLorme, too. Those guys were a pain in my big bad side, I'm telling you. But I hated those guys, too, just for the record.
When you see Joel Quenneville, you talk hockey or horses?
Percentages of talking hockey.
1% And here's my follow-up, Frank. Quenneville took the Florida job because it's proximity to a racetrack.
I can't hear you. You're breaking up.
I don't know if he wants to dodge that question. I said Quenneville took the Florida job because it was near a racetrack. Now, maybe he did hear it, Frank.
What does Eddie Olczyk have in common with Babe Ruth?
Oh, jeez. I don't know.
You scored 342 goals, and Babe Ruth's lifetime batting average, .342.
Oh, wow. Great. Okay. That's awesome. Thank you.
Frank and I are in Chicago. We have one night to eat pizza. Where do we go?
Ooh, wow. I would say you go to Giordano's.
Ooh, like it. One player to start a franchise with in hockey history. Can't hedge. Who is it?
Wow.
You get the best 10 years
in the middle of the ice. I'm going. Because I played with him, I'm going with Mario Lemieux.
Nice.
True or false, the next time Doc Emrick flubs a call will be the first time?
100%.
Eddie, great stuff.
Hey, just on the record, I'm working with Doc tomorrow.
Right. No, I know. No, I'm saying he is so good.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much. Great broadcast last night.
Thanks a lot, guys. Great being with you. Thanks.
All right.
So do we think he didn't hear the Quenneville horse track question? Or
I think he heard it.
He didn't want to answer because Joel loves him some horse. What do you say, 99% horse talk when they're together, 1% hockey talk?
And that elicited some serious laughter. You guys got a couple chuckles out of Eddie in that.
Does that
interview
count as a good question?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I got a ruling from Blousy.
Okay.
All right, we're ready for five for Frank. We're a little behind here, but we're up against it. It's a big day today. It's brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Frank, true or false, during that game and the longer it progressed, you had a little bit of an inner wet blanket as a lifelong Blues fan just thinking, it's going to happen again. There's no this fan base, this town. Did you have any of those thoughts?
Absolutely, yeah. Especially when the shots just became so ridiculous. Oh, boy, this is the way it's going to happen.
I kept thinking, we'll talk about the goal that the referee knocked the puck and Binnington should have had a shutout. And we'll talk about the fact that they had all these shots, but Bishop, the St. Louis kid, denies them the chance to advance. I think you couldn't help but have those thoughts. All right, percentage of fans that will attend both Cher and a Blues playoff game. So we have Cher coming to town, right? Is there a percentage of fans that are like, you know, I got to get my Cher tickets, and, well, we got to go to the next round of the hockey?
I'd say less than 5%.
I would love to. Maybe a guy like Biff, who's well-rounded and goes to a lot of events.
Is he well-rounded? Well, are you sure that's the right word?
He dates a Hooters waitress.
Okay, maybe
well-rounded.
Maybe that's the wrong.
Who like gets, he's a Renaissance man or something like
gets
that?
Gets around? Is that okay, I'm just trying to think of anybody. Do you know anybody who will go? Like, Iggy would go to both if he had tickets.
Isn't there supposed to be, like, a high percentage of very gay males who go to Cher concerts? Isn't that what I've read before?
I think that sounds. I know Bette Midler is huge with gay males, but I guess Cher, that sounds plausible. Can we get a ruling, anyone?
In fact, I bet there's been something even written about it, that the percentage of
so
Brian,
Cher,
Brian is going to have the metrics.
How would
on
you
this.
Like
yeah,
the,
let me,
the
analytics,
write that
the
article.
Analytics on this? Okay. Bryce Harper makes $70,000 per game. The average Cher
yeah.
All right. Number three, five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University. I'm just thinking of you getting metrics on that they would have happened
to exist.
If
anybody can do it, Brian can.
Oh, boy.
Okay, greatest game you've ever attended, fan or reporter, and where does last night's fall?
Last night's would probably be top five. And, you know, I hate to say it, but the Super Bowl in Atlanta, the freeze game, Smet winning another state title. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, that would be top three.
It feels,
I guess.
It feels like a top five to me.
Maybe top three.
I think the Rams are still two of my top five because the Prohl catch, the fact that we were at the Dome and it was in St. Louis. Super Bowl is hard to top. This was a second round game set, but for me, Blues wise, it's got to be number one. Dan O'Neill, longtime writer at the Post Dispatch, said you still got to go the Schrock goal. In 68, double overtime winner. It gets him to the Stanley Cup Finals. And I said, well, Dan, you're a little older than me and Frank. But last night, all of the elements that you roll into it, I think you could clearly make the case. I was at the Monday Night Miracle, but when they lost the Game 7, it certainly lost some of its luster. NLCS Game 7 at Shea. Were you at the game in
Shea?
Yeah. That's always been my favorite game.
I saw Koufax and Seinfeld at the game.
No Mary Hart sightings?
No.
I think if you're a Blues historian, you'd have to debate it. I don't think it's an easy dismissal. That might be the greatest Blues game ever.
Yeah, the Monday Night Miracle did not result in a victory. They lost
right.
Game 7. So.
Yeah. It was definitely the Lidge equivalent. All right, true or false, my mom's hockey credentials are being pulled because the other day she wanted to bench Vince Dunn. She was very upset with the penalty in Game 6. She texted me, get him out of there.
No.
Which would have cost us a key goal. I'm sorry, Mom. I may have to revoke your pass.
No, she's a passionate hockey fan. She's got a right to her emotions, and Vince screwed up when she was upset with him.
Do you know how many people texted me when he scored during the game? People are texting, hey, because I brought this up yesterday, that my mom was really into it, and that's what's great this time of year.
Did you text your mom?
I did not text. I didn't rub it in her face, but people were texting me and saying, what about your mom and her Vince Dunn benching? What about that now? Take that, Ma. All right, the worst take would go to one of these two people. Game's over. Dean Blandino, who is a former head of officiating,
yeah.
for the NFL, and I think he works for Fox now, basically said how disappointing that a game like that would end without the Stars getting a chance to score. Thinking of overtime rules that maybe the NFL, the way they do it now, everybody goes back and forth. And he said, wouldn't it have been great if the Stars then had a chance to score? I'm like, but they did have a chance to score. So I don't know if that's the worst take or the one that responded to the picture of Pat Maroon, Ben Bishop, congratulating each other on a great series, and in the background, the St. Louis flag waving. It's an awesome picture. I'm sure most folks have seen it now online.
Who talked about that earlier today? Was it Joey said it?
Well, he mentioned it. Yeah. Vitaly mentioned it. But somebody on Twitter, and I saw Tim McKernan respond to him. The guy said, well, it doesn't really matter. I'm paraphrasing. Because neither of these guys is actually from the city.
Oh,
they're from Oakville, and they're from Kirkwood.
Somebody actually said that?
And said, said Kirkwood and Oakville, I'm not sure they have their own city flag, so I'm not sure it really counts. Unless this guy was kidding. And I know Tim tweeted at him, and I responded to Tim, and I said, this is the most wettest of wet blankets ever.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think that's a worse take than Dean Blandino saying the Stars deserved a chance to get the puck.
No, that's the worst take of them all.
Get over it.
I can't believe.
Hi, Strick.
Strick's here. Yeah. Strick can't wait. Look at this. Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University. Are you just getting out of Obie Clark, Strick? Is that what happened? I'm thinking yes, basically yes. 622 beer is in the house.
Yeah. Hey, McBride Homes is one of our great sponsors. They're Missouri's largest home builder. They're offering incredible deals throughout the entire month of May. During their Memorial Day sales event, buy a new McBride home in May. Receive $2,000 to $10,000 off the base price of a new home. Celebrate the season with incredible savings and move in before the end of the summer. Nearly 40 communities across Metro St. Louis. There are homes for every price point in every part of town, so there's no reason to wait. Homes to fit every lifestyle and design with you in mind. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details. Maryville University sponsors our phone lines. Go to Maryville.edu and find out more about that world-class school in town and country. Brian, we have gotten quite a few texts about the share.
A loyal listener, Tom, texted me and said, you guys are absolutely correct about share with gay men. That it is a thing. It's not just in Frank's mind.
Demographics, the fan graphs of a share concert's not updated, so I can't see an actual.
And let's not act surprised.
Above replacement level for the sexuality of Cher's audience, unfortunately.
We'll break it down a little further. 622 Cher, also in the house. What a big hockey block.
By the way,
here.
Did you hear something that maybe Eddie might have leaked? He said back-to-back at some point during the
interview
with the Blues.
That.
So are they going to do back-to-back games in the Western Conference Final?
Could they do a Saturday-Sunday? Is the Enterprise of Strix in the background?
Okay, he's not talking into a microphone.
All right, here I just got this from our general manager. It's either Saturday prime time or Sunday 2-5.
Okay.
For game one?
Yeah, but how do we know which city it is?
Well, it can't be Sunday, because San Jose is booked Sunday afternoon with some stupid ice skating thing. So, I don't know. I guess, can they transfer over that quickly from what the ice needs to be to put the logo on it? I don't know how that works. So.
And instead of Gloria, now we're shifting to, if I could turn back time.
That might be the Avalanche theme song for the series, I guess. Turn back time.
So, if it was back-to-back. Let's just say it's in San Jose.
Friday, Saturday?
It wouldn't be back-to-back in San Jose.
Okay. Hi, Strick.
It would not be back-to-back in San Jose.
Because they have, what do they have again? They have
some stupid ice skating
ice
thing on Sunday.
And what day is that?
Stupid ice skating.
I think that was Sunday. Yeah, it was the 12th, which is Sunday, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
San Jose could
some bronze medalist stopping by. Who cares?
San Jose could be a Friday, Sunday. And I would imagine I guess they could start Saturday, but I would think NBC would want games on Saturday and Sunday. You have the Eastern Conference starting Thursday.
Yeah.
The only back-to-back scenario, I think, applies potentially here at the Enterprise Center because of the Cher concert on Friday. There's also an event at the Enterprise Center on Monday. So if Colorado wins tonight, we'll see. You could have that. I would find it hard to believe, not saying it wouldn't happen, but in a third round of the Stanley Cup playoffs in the Western Conference Final, you would have a team travel all the way from the West Coast to come play back-to-back games on a Saturday, Sunday.
The thing at the Enterprise is called Tool. Does anybody know that?
I've been to a Tool concert in Peoria. I would recommend the blues game, but great.
Tool?
Yeah.
The band? You mean the band?
Tool?
Yeah.
Yeah, the band.
They're playing Enterprise Center?
Yeah.
They still play?
That's like a real hardcore metal, right?
Oh, God, they've been around forever.
They have
That's
been.
Like a Cam Jansen band.
I saw them in Peoria. They were great. But like I said, if I had to choose, I'd probably pick the blues game.
Let's play some Tool for Rejoin music tomorrow, Plowsy. That'll fit the press box music mantra very well.
Can you confirm that that's what I... That feels
it
like
is.
A really big venue for them.
I believe I read it last night.
It's not a Tool show with like hardware on display. It's actually the band.
Actually the band.
Yeah, May 13th.
Tool. I thought it was Jewel. Somebody told me last night.
They played
it
the Peoria Civic Center 10 years ago, Martin. So.
Okay, I take it back then. Okay, I'll walk it back.
Big. That's big. All right, what do you have coming up in the Coveted Hour?
Right here. This is all you need.
So
622 Blue.
Eddie Olczyk and Doug Armstrong and
Joey Vitale with Strick. Yeah. Okay.
Strick got included in the tweet about our guest list today.
Yeah.
Why you should keep listening.
He made the list. Yeah. Made the marquee.
Now, where are you standing on the suit thing here? Did you hear us breaking it down with Mr. Vitale?
The suits are getting too short, the hockey players. And he said, he even asked Ryan O'Reilly, he said, you don't look comfortable. Their clothes are so tight. And
listen, they go with a tighter suit, but they go with a shorter pant, too, with no socks. With no socks.
It's like high water.
You're seeing a lot of NBA players do that, too.
That's true.
I respect the no socks.
In
socks
fact,
are
LeBron James carries a purse and wears shorts. So, I mean, which is actually a suit. It's a suit with shorts.
This is said, out last year.
Yes.
Frank, this is such a big noon hour that Strick will talk into the mic the entire show.
Awesome. All right.
That coming up.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.